You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Aaron Einhorn's mother was one of the Jewish children hidden from the Nazis in Poland by non-Jewish families. Although Aaron asked what had happened, her mother refused to discuss it in detail. So, determined to learn about her mother's past and her family history, Aaron traveled to Poland to track down the family that saved her mother and ended up uncovering much more than she had bargained for. She tells that story in her new book, The Pages In Between, A Holocaust Legacy of Two Families, One Home. It's published by Touchstone, and I'm pleased that it brings Aaron Einhorn, now a reporter for the New York Daily News, to my show today. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What had your mother told you about her childhood?
Well, you know, she told me the basic details. So she told me that she was born in Nazi-occupied Poland and that she had spent the first several years of her life really as a secret. You know, if she was hidden, taken in by a Gentile family, she was born in... She was taken in by a Gentile family who kind of hid her in open sight among their other children. And she kind of told me, it was a good experience. They took care of her, and she would reject the notion that she was a Holocaust survivor. And so I knew that she had lived with this family, that her life had been a secret, and that she had survived and had had this happy ending. But I also knew that, you know, her mother had been murdered. Her father had been forced into slave labor. He had been beaten on the head. He survived a death march. He came back for her at the end of the war, and she had no idea who he was.
And this is something she didn't want to talk about, or she... because you knew other Holocaust survivors, and they thought that sharing this story was very important.
Well, that's true, but, you know, it was just... It was this part of her past that... She didn't want to deal with. She came to this country as a 9-year-old girl after surviving all of this, and she wanted it behind her. And she told me this idea. She said, I was always loved. Whoever took care of me loved me. And I knew she'd been in hiding. She'd been in an orphanage. After the war, she and her father, who survived, traveled together to Sweden, where she lived with a foster family. And the details didn't really mesh, didn't really align with her version of events, which was that she was always loved. And so ultimately I realized that the story my mother had told me was really a mystery.
Would you have gone any further if you hadn't been working as a reporter? A journalist knows how to do certain things that the rest of us might not.
Well, you know, we all inherit stories from our family, you know, our mothers, our grandmothers, our ancestors, we inherit these stories and they mean something to us. And I had inherited this story that at the age of 26, 27, I came to realize wasn't the whole truth. And I moved to Poland for a year to try to find out what really happened.
But for most people, it just remains a mystery. When my mother told us throughout her life that her parents had come from the German side of Poland, they were German speakers, they were German. And then when she died, we saw her birth certificate and said, the land of parents' origin, Ukraine. Nobody is there to explain that. I wouldn't know how to begin researching that story. If I were a reporter, I might have some kind of insight.
Well, you know, I don't know that it takes any special skill. You know, it's really, as I've traveled around and talked to people about this book, people will say to me, you know, I wish I was a reporter so that I could go and find out about my family. And the truth is, I lived in Poland for a year and, you know, ultimately trying to kind of unravel the truth about my mother, but really discovering so many other things. And it wasn't really because I was a reporter. It was really, you know, you find people, you ask questions, and it's amazing what's available.
Well, you'd had a sometimes difficult relationship with your mother. Was this also a way of understanding her better, getting closer to her?
Yeah, absolutely. When I came to realize that the story I knew about my mother's past wasn't the whole truth, I was determined to learn who my mother really was and how her past, her real past, had shaped her and made her the woman who raised me.
And you went to Poland with certain preconceptions, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I mean, preconceptions about my family and about the country where I was going.
And about anti-Semitism in Poland.
I had always heard from my grandfather and his generation, the survivor generation, that Poland was a country that had always had this history of anti-Semitism and that there was always tension between Jews and Poles. When I got there, I realized that obviously the history is much more complex and the reality in the present is also much, much more complex.
Mm-hmm. And you went to... Well, she had lived in the countryside, hadn't she? Where were you living?
I moved to Krakow, which is a great town. It's a college town. It's got the second oldest university in Central Europe and this extraordinary history. And
it has a Jewish quarter that's become a tourist attraction. But there aren't too many Jews living there, are there?
Very, very few Jews, but lots of little Jewish theme cafes where they serve, you know, Jewish food, although frankly Jewish food and Polish food are pretty similar foods, and they play Jewish music, and they sell actually Jewish souvenirs, and it's, you know, it's part of this kind of ersatz Jewish culture that's really celebrated.
Well, in Germany, there have been major generation gaps between the generation that lived through the Nazi period and the people that were born right afterward with them as parents, and then the grandchildren. And I suspect the same things happened in Poland. What do young people think about that past?
You know, when I went to Poland in the first place, I was afraid really to tell people that I was a Jew. I didn't know what kind of reaction that I would receive. In reality, I met people, my peers. I was in my 20s, and of course the people I was meeting were English speakers. They were highly educated. But they would find out I was a Jew, and they would marvel. Oh my God, that's extraordinary. You know, the Jewish people are so beautiful. It's so interesting. And the truth is, they had grown up in this country that courses with Jewish life, while at the same time that it's largely devoid of Jewish life. There's very, very few Jews still living in Poland. But there's Hebrew letters etched in the stone in the buildings. There's Jewish cemeteries on the edge of town. There's synagogues. There's all these kind of Jewish icons. And suddenly, when they get to adulthood, they learn, or maybe in school they learn, there were 3.5 million Jews living in this country. And suddenly there's none. And they're intensely curious. And I thought I was going to meet with anti-Semitism. In reality, I met with this kind of curiosity and interest and fascination.
Your roommate Magda actually converted.
She did. Yeah, she actually came to New York City and converted here. She had always had an interest in Jewish culture.
And you were ambivalent about that conversion.
It made me a little uncomfortable because I wasn't really sure what was behind it or why she was doing it.
Did you know at this point that your mother had cancer?
I knew that my mother had cancer when I first left. My mother was diagnosed as I was preparing for this journey, and I briefly considered delaying my trip. But she was being treated, and it was so important to me to be able to do this research in my mother's life, and I actually thought my mother was going to live many more years. In reality, she passed away actually while I was living in Poland.
So it didn't give you a sense of urgency.
It did. I mean, it was this important thing that I wanted to do for my mother, that my mother, I felt, had never really dealt with what had happened to her, and it was important for me to sort of be able to share with my, and I found out so many things that it would have been so important to me to be able to share with my mother. And it was a disappointment for me that I wasn't able to do that.
My guest is Erin Einhorn. Her book, The Pages in Between, A Holocaust Legacy of Two Families, One Home, published by Touchstone. And eventually you found the family that had hidden your mother. How did you do that, and what was the reunion like?
I walked into the life of an elderly man who had known my mother as a little girl. He was the son of the woman who had saved my mother. That woman's name was Honorata Skowrońska.
Who's still alive?
No.
Who was?
She died in 1995. This was 2001, so 6 years after she died.
Mm-hmm.
I knocked on this man's door. He was actually still at the last known address that we had had for his family. I knocked on the door, and I showed him a photograph of my mother as a little girl. And he starts, and he said, She was my sister. How is she? 56 years had passed since he had seen my mother. He didn't know if she was alive or dead until I knocked on his door. And he took me in his arms and embraced me.
But then there was a controversy surrounding your family home, and that really complicates this story.
Well, it does. And you know, really the number one mistake that I made as I was doing the research for this book is that I thought the history was just kind of there, and I would go and I would encounter it and I would discover it and I'd bring it home to my family and we could marvel over it. I never expected that the past would still be living, so that there was this man, and I just wanted him to tell me about his memories. But in reality, he had problems today that he asked me to solve. And when I struggled to solve those problems, our relationship soured very quickly. It was not at all what I had bargained for.
That's because it turns out that they didn't wind up taking over ownership of the house after your mother and the family left for one reason or another.
What happened is that my grandfather survived the war. He came back for my mother, and he invited the woman who had saved his daughter to live in his family's house. He said, "You can live here. You can be the manager. There were probably 10 or 12 units in the building. You can collect rent from the tenants and pay the taxes." And then he vanished, and he never went back to his home country.
But that's before Poland became a communist country, and then it went through all those communist years, and now it's a post-communist country. What is the government's role in this story?
Well, I mean, the government collects the taxes. At some point, there was a tax arrears. The government actually seized part of the property for tax arrears. There's a whole complicated thing involving the government. But essentially, this family, when I arrived there, the family story was that my grandfather had promised to return to Poland and give the family that house, that they would become its owners. And so when I arrive, I'm there looking for this story about my mother, for the truth about my mother, and this very personal story about me and her. I didn't anticipate that there would be this whole other past out there that was just kind of waiting for us to come and fix these things. And they wanted me to give them the house.
Were you inclined to do that?
I might have been, but the house isn't in my name either. Actually, and this is the even more complicated part of it. My grandfather didn't even own the house. My great-grandparents, Yisroel and Zissel Friedrich, they're the ones who own the house. So before I can do anything, I had to inherit it from them. Only I couldn't inherit it from them because, according to Poland, they weren't dead. They were 133 years old, but I didn't have a death certificate. They were among 6 million Jews for whom death certificates and ceremonies were in hell. There were no funerals, and there were no death certificates.
So this has to be a common problem in Poland because an awful lot of Polish Jews died in the Holocaust, and no records were kept.
The number one thing that I learned in this year of researching this story was that so much of the past, of this war, of World War II and the Holocaust, were never dealt with. There were all of these strings just kind of left dangling, property strings, legal strings, you know, also a lot of emotional things, as with my mother. And all these young Poles growing up in this country that had changed, every aspect of life had been so altered by this, and we never really dealt with it or understood it.
So even though it's... how many, 63 years since the end of the war? There's still bad blood over these things?
There's bad blood or just kind of ambiguity and all of these kind of unresolved consequences that we just never really thought through.
Were you able to come up with some of the documents that could have resolved these things?
I was, you know what, I found extraordinary things in my research. And that, you know, this sort of this problem with the property kind of sent me on the search for, you know, it sent me to the property records and the genealogy records. I had to try to prove at least how old my great-grandparents were. So I had to find their birth certificates. And then I found their parents' birth certificates and their great-grandparents' birth certificates. I traced my family history back to 1809. And then I found, I mean, wonderful things. My mother never knew what her own mother looked like. She didn't know if her mom had red hair like she did, black hair like me and most of the rest of my family. she felt this void in her life from not being able to visualize her own mother. And I found a picture of her and actually was able to share that with my mother before she died.
And then after she died, you were kind of reluctant to tell the people in Poland that she had died. Why?
Well, it's complicated, and I'm not even sure I know the answer myself. But in some ways, when I knocked on Wiesław Skowroński's door, as I said, he didn't know if his sister was alive or dead. And I told him she's alive, because she was. As fate would have it, my mother died about 2 weeks later. And I came back to Poland, and I just didn't have the heart to say, you know, she was alive when I was here last, and now she's not. And so I told a little fib. And then a month passed, and I told another one. And after a while, I think I came to enjoy the fact that there in the house where my mother was born, she was still alive, even 6 months after she had died.
You write a lot about the divide between memory and truth. What do you mean by that?
Well, as I was saying earlier, we all inherit these stories, you know, these narratives about who we are and where we came from. You know, maybe it's an immigrant story about, you know, how our ancestors decided to come to this country, or, you know, maybe an American story about somebody who fought in the Revolution or the Civil War, and it means something to us. But if we probe below the surface a little bit and start digging, we may discover that the facts aren't quite as we had heard from the memory. So in my family, I learned that shocking news about how my grandmother may have died. And it wasn't necessarily as my grandfather had said.
What do you think the truth was as far as saving your mother was concerned? Did Honorata Skowroński save your mother for money, or did she really think of her as her own daughter?
I don't know that it matters. You know, there were plenty of people who took money to save children and then kept the money. In fact, my mother had a cousin. A woman took money to save my mother's first cousin. And the folklore has it that the child was abandoned on a seat on a streetcar. The reality is that Honorata Skowrońska had a lot of choices to make. And there's no doubt about it, the fact that my mother survived that war. And 1.5 million children were murdered, and my mother wasn't among them. And sure, she was paid, but I can't begin to think that that matters.
She was also given a medal from Yad Vashem for saving a life.
She nominated herself for the medal, actually, which I didn't know you could do, but apparently you can.
What's your relationship with the Skowroński family now?
It's complex, like so many other things in this story.
Has the house problem been resolved?
It has not. It has been 8 years. I have spent thousands of dollars on legal fees and documents, and I've collected, you know, dozens and dozens of documents, and it's still in the courts. There were sort of all these other complications, and now it's become even more complicated because more of my relatives have passed away, and every time somebody dies, we have to do inheritance procedures for them, and it's, it's kind of a mess.
Did all of the information you learned, you even went to Sweden to research this story, did it lead you to a greater understanding of your mother?
In some ways, yes. I certainly have a better understanding of what happened to my mother. But, you know, I'll never get to share what I learned with her, which I think is the sort of the missing component. And for me, I mean, it's hard for anybody to lose a parent, but for me, I think the greatest tragedy of losing my mother is that I came so close to maybe kind of cracking that code. I mean, we all want to crack the code of our parents and, you know, understand who they are, and I came so close, and then I lost her.
Aaron Einhorn has written for the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Philadelphia Daily News, Fortune, now the New York Daily News, where she covers New York City government and the public school system. She's also been a contributor to public radio's This American Life. Her story was the basis for one of the show's most popular episodes. Now a book called The Pages in Between, A Holocaust Legacy of Two Families, One Home, published by Touchstone. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.